Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Amen. Welcome back for those of you that are viewing online. And we are now going to get into the Word. And so I am privileged and blessed to be able to share the Word of God with us today. And if you don't know me, my name is James. I'm one of the pastors, one of the ministers here in Victory Outreach Manchester. And today we're going to be speaking and continuing to speak on this series called The Journey. Amen. How many know each and every one of us is on a journey? And that journey looks different for each of us. And today the title of this message is called Lighten the Load. Lighten the Load. But I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. But as you do that, I just really want to give honor where honor is due. And first and foremost, above all else, I honor God today, amen, for his salvation, for the life that he's given me. But I also want to give God glory. How many know when God does something in your life, it's important to give him glory, to speak about it? And so I just want to give God glory that this past Thursday, not just myself, but I also know our pastor, Pastor Paul, we both completed our master's degrees, amen, at Nazarene College. God is good. And I think if you went back 20, 25 years in Pastor Paul's life and my life, that would not have been the story that we would have thought would take place. You've heard Pastor Paul share his testimony. And even for myself, if you'd gone back 23 years ago when I was 16, I'd left school with no qualifications, no education. I'd left school when I was 12 years old, never went back. And yet, how many know God is good? That when I left school at 16 years old, no education, no qualifications, I didn't even know what school looked like. Yet today I stand here with a master's degree, graduated, not for my own glory, but for God's glory, for God's honor. Because the Bible says that the devil, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God, when he comes to give you life and life in its fullness. And so I want to let you know today, we want to celebrate those that finished school and college and got their marks and passed their exams. We celebrate them and we honor them. Amen. Let's put our hands together for them. Those of you that have finished school and college. But I also want to let you know today, if you've struggled in that area, it's not the end of the story. God's still got a plan. God's still going to work in our lives. And I want to give honor where honor is due. I honor God, but I honor this ministry. Because when I came into this ministry, I was that 16-year-old with no education, no qualifications. But it wasn't just me, my Bible, and Jesus. It was the church. God used this ministry to give me opportunity, to teach me, to raise me to who I am today. And I thank God for this ministry. How many people thank God for a good church to be a part of? Amen. At 16 years old, God has put great people in my life. Pastor Anthony was one of the first people to start working with me at 16. I used to bug him and annoy him, man, because he'd pull me in and he'd start teaching me, and I would have so many questions. And he'd try and teach me something, and before he'd even finish talking, I'd be like, yeah, but what about this? And what about that? And I read this, and he's like, just be patient. And then ever since that point, I recognize the people that God has placed in my life. Amen. And how many people are thankful for our pastors? Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky, good people. Good pastors, amen. And so today, this message on the journey, and also on my journey, I thank God for my wife and my family, amen. My children and my wife is amazing, my best friend, amen. 15 years this year we've been married. Just a couple of months, it'll be 15 years. Amen, God is good. But I'm gonna read from Hebrews chapter 12. And today I'm going to be very upfront. We're going to be speaking about faith. We're going to be speaking about faith, because I believe this message, although very simple, although very straight to the point, is a message that is key for who we are right now as a church and a people. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3, it says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off, someone say throw off. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's pray. Father God, today we thank you that this journey that we're on, this race that we run, and this life that we live, we do not live it alone. Lord, you have gone before us. And not only have you gone before us, but you are with us now. So Lord, we pray that we have worshipped you in song. We have worshipped you in giving. And now we worship you by listening and responding to your word. So we thank you and we pray, speak to our lives today. Let faith arise. Let hope arise. Let salvation arise. Let today be a place where anything is possible when your word is spoken. We thank you today and we give you the honor, the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to spend some time looking in Hebrews. Hebrews has certain themes that run through it. When you read Hebrews, some people say that Hebrews is a letter that was written. Some people even believe that Hebrews was a message that was preached in the early church, those earliest services after Jesus had risen. Some people believe that Hebrews was a message that was spoken in the church at that time. How cool is that, that when you read Hebrews, you might be reading one of the earliest sermons that was ever preached. That's a pretty cool thing to read when you read Hebrews. And Hebrews speaks about certain things. As soon as you open up this book of Hebrews in chapter 1, you find that the author says that Jesus is the express image, the perfect representation of God. One of the major themes that runs through the book of Hebrews is that Jesus is unlike any other. How many people can testify today that Jesus is unlike anyone you've ever met before, anyone you've ever encountered? Jesus is unlike anyone you will meet in your life. He is faithful. He is true. He is good. He's the only one that will make a promise and keep it every single time. Jesus is good. Jesus is above all else. The author of Hebrews says that Jesus goes beyond anything that you will read, see, or encounter. He surpasses even the angels, even the laws, even the sacrificial system. Anything that you see and experience in life, I want to let you know today that Jesus will top it. Jesus will go beyond it. Jesus will give you peace like the world can't give you peace. Jesus will give you joy like no amount of money or promotions or relationships can give you joy. Jesus will come into your life in areas that no one else can come into and will change the areas that no one else can change. Jesus is unlike any other. But yet even in this, Hebrews has other themes it focuses on as well. And one of the things that we're going to focus on today as well as Jesus is the fact that Hebrews was written to a people who were struggling in their faith. Hebrews was written to a people that had grown weary and tired. Hebrews was written to encourage them. Hebrews was written to a people that had begun to wonder whether God could fulfill every promise that had been given to them. They had begun to wonder if they should stop short of what God had promised their lives, the freedom, the victory, the resurrection, the hope, the peace. They had begun to question whether they could see every promise of God fulfilled. Hebrews was written to let the people know that God is faithful. Hebrews was written to a group of people that had even begun to think about turning back to their old way of living, turning back to their old way of being. Hebrews was written to them to say, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, because he is the author and the perfecter. He is the only one that is faithful to complete what he has begun. How many people today, God has begun something great in your life? God has begun a work and a journey. Jesus is the only one that will finish exactly what he has started in your life. Whether you've been saved a day, a week, a month, a year, 10 years, whether today is your day to come to know Jesus, he will finish what he's begun. If he's made you promises, he will fulfill them. If he's promised you peace, he will bring it. If he's promised you salvation to your family, he will bring it. Jesus is the only one that will finish what he's begun. I don't just want you to take my word for it. I want you to take God's word for it. I want to read a couple of verses here from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess." Hebrews 6, 1. "Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity." Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. "We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." Hebrews 10, 23, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Hebrews 10, 29, I love this, "We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." I want to let you know today, whatever your story has been to this moment, today is a day in Jesus, in the church, where you don't need to shrink back from any enemy. You don't need to shrink back from any giant. We don't belong to a faith. We don't belong to a people that shrink back in battle. But when we used to fight before we were even saved, we fight even harder now. We believe even stronger. We stand even longer. I want to let you know today, this is a day that if you have been shrinking back, that stops today, and we step forward into the destiny and the purpose and the promises that God has spoken over our lives. Is there anyone today that says, "I'm not shrinking back anymore, but I'm standing on every promise. I'm believing for every word. I'm going to see the salvation of God in my family and my generation." We don't shrink back, we bounce back. We don't shrink back, we fight back. We don't shrink back, we come back. We don't shrink back, we stand on what Jesus has promised and what he has shown us, and for some of you, what he's going to show you. You know, in Hebrews 12, 1, I usually build up into the message a little bit. In Hebrews 12, 1, it says that there has been a race, a journey that has been set out for us. That word to be set out, it means it has been placed in front of you. The race has been laid out for you. You know, for each and every one of us, our race is unique. Our journey is unique. We come from different backgrounds, different experiences, different ways of being raised, different ways of being taught. Some of us have moved from city to city. Some of us have moved from nation to nation, even continent to continent. Whatever your journey has brought you to today, our race is unique in many ways. My journey took me from Scarborough to Lincoln, back to Scarborough, to London, to Salford, and who knows where God might send us or use us. But what I know is that wherever God takes you, your journey is unique, your story is unique, your anointing is unique, your gifting is unique, your talents are unique, your story, your testimony is unique. We've come from different places, different backgrounds, we're different colors, different ages, different sizes, different shapes. I'm different sizes and shapes every week. And that's not to mention the whole church. I'm just talking about myself. I'm different sizes and shapes. But yet, no matter how unique your journey is, no matter how unique your race is, no matter how unique your burden is, your passion is, there is something that is common to each of us. Not only is that commonality Jesus, but yet that commonality is it takes the same things to run your race. It takes the same markers. It takes the same qualities. It takes the same substance. Your race may be unique. Your gifting may be unique. Your story may be unique, but for each and every person, the writer of Hebrews reminds them that every race that is run, every victory that we see, every giant that comes in your way, it takes faith and it takes endurance. It takes faith and it takes endurance. The writer of Hebrews tells us that we are not alone on this journey. He says right there in chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, let us also run the race. I want to let you know today, there are those that have run the race before you. There are those that are running the race with you. And there are going to be those that run the race after you. But you are not running alone. You're not fighting alone. You're not believing alone. You've come into a church. You've come into a faith where there are some people that have fought some battles, that have slayed some giants, that have overcome the odds. Some of us were born and raised in places that success was not the norm, that victories were not the norm, that education was not the norm. But I want to let you know today that you have entered into a church, into a ministry, into a faith, into a season where you are not running by yourself. But when you partner with people, you're partnering with people that have seen victories, that have believed, that have stood. You might not have seen it, but even when you step through those doors, you are stepping over giants that have been slain, victories that have been bought. I want to let you know today that God raises up the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And even if there's times and moments where it gets difficult, I want to let you know you're not running the race alone. There are people that have run before you. There are people that want to run with you. And depending on your decisions, there will be people that run the race after you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9 says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You know, this letter was written at a time where the Christians were experiencing persecution. In the Roman Empire, they were, for many different places throughout the empire, Christians were being arrested, imprisoned, beaten, tortured, and even sometimes killed. Now, that might not exactly be for us most of our reality, but the principle of this scripture remains the same. The battle you face today, the calling that God is bringing you to today, is something that people have experienced before you. And if they could stand in faith, if they could endure, if they could flip the coin, if they could turn the tables on their story, then you can too. And this is where Hebrews 11 comes into play. Hebrews 11 is known as the Hall of Faith. You've got Hall of Faith, Hall of Fames in basketball. People like LeBron James, Michael Jordan. You don't really have Hall of Fame in football, but if you did, I guess you'd have Messi and Ronaldo and Pele and all of these people. But there is something called the Hall of Faith in Christianity, in the history of our faith. And the author begins to speak about men and women that have stood, men and women that have seen victories, men and women that have left legacies, that have stood forward and stepped forward at a time in their generation and begun to make a difference. But Hebrews 11, before we look at some of these stories, is framed by a call to faith and a call to endurance. In Hebrews 10, verse 36, just before these stories of the men and women through the Old Testament comes up, he says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Endurance and faith need to meet together. Endurance and faith is what gives birth to miracles. Endurance and faith is what gives birth to breakthrough. You know, endurance, let me just say this. Endurance is not getting through something. In the Bible, endurance is moving towards something. It's easy to see endurance as just getting through it. I'm going to curl up in a ball. How many people ever felt like curling up in your bed and just putting a blanket over your head? And wake me up on Monday. Wake me up next week. Wake me up next year. Endurance isn't just getting through something. Endurance is moving towards something. So when seasons become difficult, when callings become a reality, when promises are made, endurance isn't just getting through it. Endurance is moving towards the calling and the purposes and the promises that God has placed over your life. When you break down this word endurance, it means to remain the same, not to become another, or not to change your course. You know, when things get hard, one of the easiest things to do is to settle. One of the easiest things to do when things get difficult is just simply to say, well, at least I'm not as bad as I used to be. At least I'm not doing that anymore. But endurance speaks about people that when things get hard, when things get difficult, when the odds are against you, endurance doesn't just come through it. Endurance is moving towards that life of destiny and influence and legacy. Endurance doesn't change your calling or change your purposes or change your promises. Endurance says, if God said it before this season, he's going to say it after this season and through this season. I want to let you know today that endurance doesn't just say I've got through it. Endurance says I've come through it with my purpose and my promises and my calling still firmly fixed in my sight. Endurance needs to meet faith. I've met some people on my journey that have had faith but no endurance. They've come in and they've stood and they said, yes, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. God can do anything. But when trials got hard, their endurance wasn't there. And I've met some people with endurance but haven't let their faith grow. And they've come through stuff and they're still standing, and we recognize that and we celebrate that. But for some of us, you've come through some seasons, but I want to let you know today, your endurance is now going to meet your faith and your faith is going to grow. And I want to let you know today, when faith and endurance come together, miracles are birthed. When faith and endurance come together, transformation is released. When faith and endurance comes together, ministries are built, legacies are left, households are changed, communities are reached, generations are changed. When faith meets endurance, anything is possible. This is what the Apostle Paul said about endurance in Philippians 3, 12 to 14. When we think about moving towards that prize and that promise, he says this, not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to take hold of it. But one thing that I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul had one thing on his mind, the calling, the purpose, and the promises of God. In every season and circumstance, Paul's mind was fixed. Paul's eyes were set. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says that we have a journey that has been set before us. But in Hebrews 12, 2, it says that Jesus had a journey set before him. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. How many know that Jesus is not just the source of our salvation? Jesus is the example for how we live our lives. Jesus came and showed us. Let me say this. Jesus didn't come and live a superhuman life. Jesus came and lived a human life. He showed us what it meant to be people, to be human. Hebrews 12:1 says that each of us have a journey. Hebrews 12:2 says Jesus had a journey. Jesus becomes the example of what it means to live this life. In Luke 4, Jesus said that his mission, his purpose, was to see captives set free, to see prisoners released, to see the blind see, to see the sick healed. Jesus' mission was transformation. Jesus' mission was change and salvation. But how many know even Jesus had to endure? Jesus endured betrayal. Jesus endured loss. Jesus endured patience with those around him. Jesus endured being misunderstood. And Jesus even endured the cross. In every season of Jesus' life, he endured, not just because he came through it, but because he kept moving towards the destiny and the purpose that God had set before him. So Jesus shows us that endurance is not only possible, but he shows us what happens when we endure. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Isn't that amazing to know that Jesus knows what you go through? Jesus knows what you face. You know, one of the mystical, amazing things about Christianity, and it's not even really that explainable, But the beauty of Christianity and the beauty of knowing Jesus is that when you are going through seasons, Jesus doesn't just understand. Jesus enters into that suffering with you. Jesus enters into that life with you. He comes in and he enters into that journey. But what I love about that is Jesus, when he enters into our reality, he doesn't just leave it the same. But Jesus is the only one that can change our story. Jesus is the only one that can change our destination. Jesus is unique. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, I want to draw out the language from this. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. It says that we are surrounded by people of faith, surrounded by people that have stood, people that have endured, people that have seen victories, salvations. It says that we are surrounded by those people. But in Hebrews 12, 1, it also says, be careful to throw off the sin that entangles. You know that word entangles means to be surrounded? So what the author of Hebrews is saying is that at any moment in your life, you are surrounded by faith and you are surrounded by fear. You are surrounded by reasons to step out and you're surrounded by reasons to step back. You're surrounded by reasons to believe and you're surrounded by reasons to maybe not believe. The question is what we fix our eyes on, what we believe, what we look to. In any moment of your life, you might have a reason to say no. Each of us have reasons to say no sometimes. Insecurity, our past hurts, something, whatever it may be, we all sometimes have reasons to say no. But the author of Hebrews reminds them, you have more reasons to say yes. You have more reasons to believe. There are footprints that have gone before you. There are testimonies that have gone before you. So today, the question for us is, what do we look at when we're walking on our journey? Do we look at the reasons why we can't, or do we look at the reasons why we can? Do we look at those that have fallen short, or do we look for those that have stood and pressed in and seen every victory of God in their life? In 2 Kings chapter 6, there's a story, and it's a beautiful story about what it means to look and to focus on the right things. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 to 17, Israel was at war with another nation, or should I say this other nation was declaring war on Israel. And it said this, 2 Kings chapter 6, it says, now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent a word to the king of Israel. Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord, the king, said one of the officers. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Wow. Moral of the story, be careful who you hang out with. Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Have you ever felt in your life that no matter which way you turn, that you're surrounded by challenges, surrounded by struggle? Have you ever felt in your life that sometimes, no matter what way you turn, that every day can be a battle, that sometimes the things that we're called to can seem too big or difficult? What I love about this prayer, it is completely different to the type of prayer I would have prayed. You know what my prayer would have been? My prayer would have been, Lord, remove my enemy. My prayer would have been, Lord, get rid of the insecurities. My prayer would have been, Lord, get rid of those that speak badly. My prayer would have been, Lord, get rid of the fear, get rid of the doubt. Lord, just get rid of everything that's difficult. That would be my prayer. How many people pray that prayer? Lord, get rid of every challenge in my life and I will serve you. Lord, get rid of every difficulty in my life, Lord, and you will see a new praise in my life. Lord, just give me more and I'll give more. Lord, all those prayers. But you know what I love about Elisha's prayer? He wasn't concerned about the enemy. He never prayed for the enemy to get removed. He just prayed that the servant would see what God was doing. He didn't pray for the enemy to go. His prayer wasn't, Lord, take every chariot away and give me that. He said, you know what? Don't worry about the enemy that surrounds you. Worry about the God that surrounds you. Worry about the promises of God in your life. Fix your focus on that. Look to the author and perfecter of your faith. That's a totally different prayer of mine. I'm like, Lord, take away the fear. Lord, take away the doubt. Lord, I don't want to be nervous anymore. Lord, make me bold. Make me this, make me that. Or every prayer under the sun. And I spend so much time praying for the enemy to go that I just get out of prayer thinking about the enemy because I've been praying about him all the time. Like, well, come on. Like, sometimes we spend so much time talking about what the devil's doing, it's no wonder he's on your mind. But begin to pray not about your enemy going, but begin to pray that your eyes will be opened to the fact that God is with you, that God is for you, that no matter what he calls you to, no matter what he's promised you, that God will make a way for you. Some of us, and I put myself in this box many times, some of us are still asking when God will use us because you think that the struggles in your life disqualify you. And you're waiting for the struggles to go before you step into the destiny God has for you. My friend, listen, I started preaching and teaching 20 years ago. I still get nervous. I'm still there. I said to my wife before I came up, I'm so nervous, man. But I used to say, Lord, take away the nerves. And the Lord's like, get over yourself, man. Just share what I gave you. Sometimes we spend so much time thinking that we have to be a certain way to be used by God. And we fix our eyes so much on what is against us instead of praising God for what is for us. Amen. Believing who is with us. We're always going to have reasons to say no. Disappointment, hurt, insecurity. I'm not the best person for the job. Guess what? You're not. But you're the right person. That's what matters. You're not the best person. I'm not the best person. I'm so not the best person. But God's not looking for the best person. God's looking for the right person. And maybe this season, maybe you're the right person. Maybe you're the right person to see God do what he wants to do in this generation. So we go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, they begin to talk about the stories of faith of those men and women that have gone before them. And I want to read a few verses here. In Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Have you ever felt like you don't even know what you're doing? You ever felt like you're not even sure what you're doing when you get up? You know what, Abraham, even he didn't know where he was going, but yet he knew God had told him, so he stepped out and he went. You see, it's trust. But in Hebrews 11:11, by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was unable to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he was as good as dead. That's cold, right? If you think I'm bad, look at my husband. That's what Sarah was like. If you think it's difficult, look at my partner, right? But he was as good as dead, yet there came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. Hebrews 11:17, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice.
He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the death. I want to let you know today that today is a day where many of us are going to receive those promises back from the dead. There are things that some of us have laid down, some of us have forgotten about, some of us thought there was no hope. I want to let you know today that there are some things that are going to rise up again in your life. You're going to begin to have faith that you've never had. You're going to begin to have hope that may be different than you've ever seen. That just as Isaac almost came back from the dead, so there are promises, visions, and callings that will be received again today. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons. You know, sometimes it takes faith to come up here every week and continue to bless. It takes faith to continue to believe for your family when you struggle to believe for yourself. It takes faith when you grow up in certain areas. You might think that victory and growth and maturity is not the norm. I want to let you know today, it takes faith to continue to bless and give and serve even when it gets difficult. How many people today thank God that for the past 18 months we have had men and women that have come up here every single week and kept giving and kept blessing? My friend, it takes faith. It's not fake, it's faith. Well, this is just who I am. If I'm not happy, I won't smile. My friend, it's only fake if you don't believe anything can change. But when you believe something can change, it's not fake, it's faith. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do it, they were drowned. Let me say that again. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do it, they were drowned. I want to let you know today that the seasons that God is going to take you into, there are certain things in your life that cannot come with you. There are certain areas of your life that you are about to go into that the Egyptians cannot come with you. Certain relationships cannot come with you. Certain mentalities cannot come with you. Certain challenges won't come with you. But when you step into the place that God has prepared for you, there are enemies that will not be able to come with you. But there are some of us today that are still facing the same enemies because you've not stepped into what God has for you. And we have to be careful. Because if we hold on to the same mentalities, we better be careful we don't get drowned with the Egyptians. The seasons that God has called you to, that the things that trouble you today, that when you step out, they won't trouble you anymore. Some will, but some won't. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. And what more can I say? I don't even have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of a sword, whose weakness was turned to strength and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. When I pray for faith, that's the faith that I see. That's the faith I believe for. Noah believed and his household was saved. David believed and giants were slain. Abraham believed and promises were resurrected. Joshua believed and nations were inherited. Sarah believed and miracles were birthed. Abel believed and legacies were established. I want to let you know today, faith and endurance birth breakthrough. Faith and endurance birth of miracles. Faith and endurance bring transformation. I used to have a job as a removal guy, right? And you'd move people. That's what removal people do, shock horror. And we'd be moving people. But you know, one of the things that I learned very quickly, and I think anyone that's ever moved house, give me a wave if you've moved house in the last few years. Right, one of the things that you realize about moving house, and when people move house, is that you always have more than what you thought you had. How many people know that? You always have more than what you thought you had. You would call people up and they'd be like, I've got a couple of boxes, a wardrobe and a lamp. And I'm like, you live in a 5-bedroom house. Like, what do you do in your house if you have 2 boxes, a black bag and a lamp? But you know what it taught me one time? Is that you never truly know what you've got until you step into a new place. You never truly know what's inside you until you move into a new season. And sometimes when you step into that new place, you begin to realize what you had all along. But as long as you remain back waiting for the situation to be perfect, waiting for the situation, well, Lord, I know you've given me something, but I'm looking for 5 confirmations. And we do it Old Testament style, right? I wanna get to church and there'll be someone blowing a trumpet in the left-hand corner. I'm gonna throw a fleece down in the right-hand corner. And then 5 people come up to me and say, you are a teacher. You are an evangelist. Like, that was Old Testament, dude. But they even made it go that far. But only when you move into a new season do you truly discover how much God has placed in you. I want to share this story. I remember when my wife and myself moved to Manchester. I can't believe it's been 7.5 years already. 7.5 years ago, we were in London. We'd been a part of a church for 15 years. And we loved that church. We'd married people. We'd had families move in with us. So many things. But God had begun to stir our heart. God had begun to impress on us that now's the time to step into something new. And you know what the challenge was? It was in 2013 God spoke to us. We moved up here in 2014, but every time one of us was ready, the other person wasn't. So I'd be like to Miranda, you ready? No, we're not moving yet. Miranda was a city girl. She loved London, man. She was like, you know, the Housewives of Knightsbridge type thing. That was her thing, man. She was a city girl, successful, all that type of stuff. And then a couple of months later, Miranda would be like, James, I'm ready. You ready? And I'm like, no. And we kept going back and forth. But I remember the day that we were both ready. And I'm not saying this is the perfect way to do things, believe me. But this was God's journey for us. We needed to move to Manchester. And we knew that in this step, neither of us had a job at that time. But we just knew that God wanted to do something. And I remember praying a prayer about a week before we left. And I prayed a prayer. I said, you know, I'll get a job as soon as I get up there. But you know, moving to a new city, moving to a new place and you don't even have a job, you're like, okay, God. And I remember we had 3 weeks of Miranda's wages left to live off when we first moved up here. But I prayed a prayer before we left. And I said, Lord, let my wife's reputation go before us in her field. Let her reputation go before her. And we didn't hear anything. And we're like, but we're going to do this. We're going to step. And we made the move and we came up to Manchester. And we still didn't see anything. We still didn't have anything. But then God quickened Miranda. And she went into a junk mail of her email. And she had been contacted about a job. A company wanted to employ her for like 6 months or 12 months. But that email was sent at the time that we were moving up. But we didn't know it. We didn't know the provision was there. We didn't know how it was going to come. But we knew that God wanted us to step out. We knew that God wanted us to make that move. We knew that God had something for us. So just because all the ducks weren't lined up, even I have no idea what it even means, just because things weren't all sorted and arranged, we knew that God was calling us to step out. We knew that God was bringing us into a new season. So we stepped and we believed. We trusted that God had something for us. And we stepped out. And all along, God had already provided. All along, God had already made provision. God had made a way. I want to let you know today that in whatever God is calling you to, the provision is there when you step out. The provision is there when you believe. The provision is there when you embrace God's word. Let me say to you today, breakthrough doesn't come when God speaks to you. Breakthrough comes in your response when what you say back to God. There's a lot of us waiting for God to speak to us. The breakthrough is in your response to what God says. And I want to just begin to wrap it up with something here important. In Hebrews 11, our faith is tested in what God brings us to. We are coming into a season in your life, my life, the church, where we are believing expecting and readying ourselves for a great move of God in our midst. I believe in this season that God is going to call people with giftings and ministries and burdens. I believe God is going to raise up teachers and evangelists. People, God is going to save family members that people have been praying for years. God is going to change communities. God is going to turn around different things. But our faith is not only tested in what God brings you to, but your faith is tested in what God brings you through. You see, many times God will call you to great things, but there's some seasons and times where your faith is tested by what you endure. Hebrews 11:34 says this. Speaking about faith, it says that through faith, they quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword. In Hebrews 11, verse 37, speaking about the same faith, it says they were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two, and they were killed by the sword. Through faith, some escaped the sword. Through faith, some had to endure the sword. It represents the seasons that you and I go through today. That there are some seasons that are about the miracles, the provision, the promises you step into what God has for you. But there are some seasons where it's about enduring and continuing to move towards the prize that you have fixed your eyes upon. There are some that will tell you that faith should mean the absence of suffering. There are some that will teach that faith should mean the absence of difficulty. That's not the Bible that I read. That's not the life that I've lived. And when we look at the greatest examples of faith in the Old Testament, it was faith that brought about great victories, but it was also faith that caused them to stand through great trials and struggles. And this is the reality as we begin to wrap up. We can't always be sure where our faith is going to lead us, but what we can be sure is that your faith will lead you to where God is. Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days, it says before he went into the wilderness, he was full of the Spirit. He went through the temptation and the testing. And it says when he came out of the wilderness, he was in the power of the Spirit. How many know everyone's full of something? But when you've been through some trials, then you're full of power. How many people want to be full of power, full of hope, full of praise, full of expectancy? Joseph went from the pit to the prison, and then he went to the palace. David was in the shepherd's field, then he was in the battlefield, then he was on the throne. In every season, we either take heart or we lose heart. Today, Victory Outreach, we don't belong to those who shrink back. We belong to those who will see every single promise of God fulfilled. Stand with me today and online. I believe today is a day that as we do what Hebrews 12:1 says, as we throw off any weight, any sin, anything that slows us down, there has been a race marked out for you and I, one that includes peace and joy, one that includes influence and transformation, a race that includes building ministries, leaving legacies, raising leaders, seeing lives changed. And we're going to worship, but I want to put this call out today. I believe there are some of us that God is calling you in this season to do something great, something new. There may be giftings that God has begun to show you that you have. There may be ministries that God wants to give you. There may be small groups God wants you to start. There may be people God wants you to get around. There might be businesses that God wants you to launch. There might be young people that God wants you to reach. There might be something right now in your life that you say, God, I'm not even 100% sure exactly what it is, but I know you're calling me to something bigger than myself. Your faith will be tested, but I want to let you know today that when you step into that, that God will show you that he has equipped you, he has called you, and he has readied you. And there may be some of you today who say, you know what, I don't know what that looks like, but what I know is, Pastor, I'm going through it. There's some things that just don't seem to be stopping. I want to say to you today that live with faith, live with endurance, continue to move towards those promises and that prize. And I want to let you know today that just like when Jesus came out of that wilderness, there's going to be a power and authority in your life that wasn't there before that season. So whichever way your faith is being challenged today, whatever way your faith is being stretched, I want us to lift our hands. I want us to begin to worship, because I believe today that God wants to speak. I believe today that God wants to reveal things. I believe today that this is a day where God's going to show some of us. He's going to show some of us the promises that He set before you. He's going to remind you of words and dreams and visions that you thought had been laid down, but God wants you to pick them back up. Let's begin to worship Him right now. Let's just begin to lift up His name. Right there online, also right in your living rooms, wherever you are. God sees our hearts. Let's fill this place today with worship. Let's fill this place today with faith. And let's believe that God will fulfill His word to our lives.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday in person at the church building or live on Facebook and YouTube at 10 a.m. Go to our website vomanchester.org.uk for more information.